Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thankful for what we feel in the presence of the Lord today? This may sound like a negative statement. It's not, but we don't deserve to feel this. None of us are worthy. Let me just set the record straight. You are not worthy to feel what you feel right now. It seems like every service, if I pray for more than five people, there will be at least one person who will say, I just don't feel worthy. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know the mistakes that I've made. I'm not worthy to receive His Spirit or His grace or His love. And the truth is, none of us are worthy. And there's nothing you could ever do to be worthy. But aren't you glad that He never said, I'm seeking those who are worthy? He said, I'm seeking those who are lost, who know they need repentance. Is there anybody here that knows I need repentance? I need grace. I need mercy. I need His love. Without it, I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. I'm not good enough. But God and His grace is more than enough for me. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to read two portions of Scripture very quickly. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and John chapter 7 starting in verse 34. We are thankful to be here. Amen. We pushed back the revival a week just for your sake, knowing we tested positive for COVID a few weeks ago. And so we did our due diligence, and we quarantined, and we hid out, and we got little cabin fever and stir crazy, you know, staying at home for a couple of weeks. But we were thankful. We didn't have another revival the week after this revival was originally scheduled. So we had the 2 weeks here, and then we had nothing afterwards. And so it just worked out perfect for us to be able to quarantine and then test negative and get on a plane and come here, and we were able to push the 2 weeks of revival here just back a week, and now we're here and we're blessed and thankful to be back in Portland. This church is really just another home for us. Amen. So let me just say it like I feel it. It's good to be home. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry if that's a little intrusive or a little bold, but it's your fault. You keep inviting me back, so, and you keep feeding me. When you feed a stray cat, that's their home, okay? All right. Matthew 11, and in both of these passages of Scripture, these are the words that Jesus spoke. Important to understand that. And Jesus spoke in Matthew 11 and 28 and said, "Come unto me." Come unto me. Everybody say, come to me. Yes, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's probably everybody here. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason why you feel heavy, the reason why you feel weighed down, is because you're carrying a burden that you don't have to carry. He said, my burden is light. Come to me and take my burden. In John 7 and verse 34, he said, you shall seek me and you shall not find me. He's talking about after his ascension, after his resurrection from the cross and his ascension into heaven. He's talking about these things, and they weren't understanding what he was talking about. He said, you're going to try to seek me and look for me. I'm going to be in heaven. He said, you're not going to find me. And where I am, there you cannot come. Verse 37, he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, or if anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, which is a reference to your innermost being, out of your soul, out of who you are, out of your belly shall flow the rivers of living water. He said, you're not going to be dry anymore. You're not going to be barren anymore. You're not going to be empty anymore. You're not going to be hopeless and helpless anymore. He said, if anybody thirsts, if anybody's thirsty for me, just tell them to come to me. Come to me, and I will give them everlasting water. I just want to release a word of faith today, a simple word. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Would you lift your hands? And as you're lifting your hands, this is a pursuit of Jesus. We are coming to Jesus when we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we begin to pursue him. Would you forget about every other distraction or external thing, and would you just focus and pursue the one thing that matters the most? Jesus, his presence, his spirit, his power, his word. I'm coming to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody come to Jesus today. Somebody come to Jesus today. Somebody's going to be healed today. Somebody's going to be uplifted today. Somebody's going to receive direction today. Oh, somebody clap your hands with faith unto the Lord. Would you give a shout unto the Lord one more time? Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Please forgive me if I sound like I'm belittling other needs, desires, wants. But it is partially my goal to belittle those things, because every other need or desire is small and little compared to the need we have to come to Jesus. I said it before, I read the text, how many and how oftentimes people will tell me that they are unworthy of the Lord. The other thing that many people tell me when I pray for them, when I talk with them, they'll say, I have this need, I have this desire, I need direction, I need deliverance, I need healing, I need God to step in a financial struggle, and I need this and I need that. And oftentimes I will ask them, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Because if you have not received him, receiving other things will not fix your problem. We need to receive him today. I want to just rattle off three verses of scripture. I didn't give them, but very quickly in Colossians 2 and 9, the scripture speaks of Jesus saying that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means everything that God is in Jesus Christ. If you need a healing God, it's in Jesus Christ. If you need a saving God, it's in Jesus Christ. If you need a delivering God, you need Jesus Christ. Everything that you need in God is in Jesus Christ. But the next verse says, and you are complete in him. I'm thankful that you came to church today. Please don't think that I'm telling you not to come to church. But even more than your need to come to church, I need to come to Jesus. Because I've come to church. Maybe you honest people can give a little head nod to this. Don't say amen, but just a little head nod to confess your sins with me. I've come to church many times without coming to Jesus. I've come to church to just go through the routine before. Any head nods? Just don't say amen, maybe just a little. I've come to church to sing the songs and feel good. And I've come to church so that pastor wouldn't call me on Monday morning wondering where I was. And I've come to church to just make myself feel better and get through it. And I've come to church even though I didn't feel like coming to church, but my motive was wrong. And I've come to church without coming to Jesus. But I believe that there is such a spirit of hunger here today in the people of God that say, I need to come to Jesus. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, not if anyone is in church, but if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He didn't say you're a new creature because you sat in the pew. You're not a new creature because you sang the song. You're not a new creature because you paid your tithe. You are a new creature when you come to Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of the old Chris Green. I'm sick and tired of my old man. I'm tired of my old flesh. I'm tired of my old ways, my old habits. I prayed just this morning, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit. I want to be new. I want to be whole. I want to think like you. I want to walk like you. I'm sick and tired of the carnal man. I want to be like Christ. Paul also said to the church of Rome in chapter 8, verse 10, he said, if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him, who's him? Jesus. In other words, if Jesus dwells in you, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It's time to come to Jesus today. Woo! Jesus gives a parable in Luke chapter 14. In verse 16, Jesus says, and it's just a parable, it's just an illustration, and he tells them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come! Come! For all things are now ready. Jesus is giving a parable, and when he gives parables and illustrations, what he's really doing is he's giving the behind the scenes picture of what his kingdom is all about, the kingdom of heaven. So when we read this story, think of it as if we're talking about heaven, because we are. He said that a certain man prepared a supper and he sent his servant out for a free meal and said, go out and tell everybody to come. You're invited, for all things are now ready. It's hard to believe that your healing is ready today. It's hard to believe that your answer is ready today. It's hard to believe that your deliverance and direction is ready today, facing the times that we're facing. But Jesus said, tell them to come, because all things are now ready. Verse 18, he said, but they all with one accord. Now, somebody turn to your neighbor and say, he ain't talking about us. Say, he's talking about the other church. I don't want to get on your bad side. First service of revival here. Remember, this is Jesus talking here. So they went out and told people to come to the meal. But they all, with one accord, with unity, they began to make excuses. They first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I bought a piece of property. And I've got to go see it. So I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I got to go prove them or test them. So I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I married a wife. You think that a wedding would be a good excuse to not go to the supper. But he doesn't even let a wedding, a marriage, be a good excuse in this story. He said, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and there's still room. And the master said to the servant, then go out into the highways and hedges. Here it is. And compel them to come in that my house. Hallelujah. I hope this don't get out to the politicians here today. He said, I don't want a social distance in my house. Go get everybody and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. If there's any room, go get somebody else, because I've got everlasting water. I've got everlasting love. I've got everlasting grace. Go get them all. Fill up all the space and compel them to come. I said, it's time to come to Jesus. Aren't you thankful that even on a day that we've got a social distance, that you've got a seat in the house of the Lord? You've got a place at the kingdom of heaven. You've got a place. You've chosen to be here. You chose to come. Nobody forced you to come. You chose to come. I just got to stop for a second. I got to let the enemy know something right now. Devil, the people that go to your house, you force them to go there. You make them go there. You get them so confused and tied up with addictions, tied up with mistakes and failure and insecurity. And you use attacks like fear. And you use weapons like confusion. And you use weapons of insecurity and intimidation and addiction. And you force them to go. But we chose to come here. God didn't force us to come. We chose to go. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I want to go to Jesus. I'm not forced. I've got faith. I've got desire. Look at this crazy scripture in verse 26. He said, now this is going to sound confusing, and I ain't got 45 minutes to teach it all, but he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let me just lay it out real quick for you. He's already taught many times you need to love your mother and father, your wife, your spouse, your children, your brother. In fact, he equates loving your brother with God as the most important commandment. So he's not contradicting himself, but he is showing you the way you've got to come to him. I have been guilty of coming to him
while looking around. I'm coming, Jesus, but hold on, I got to read this article over here. I'm coming, Jesus, but I got to take care of this. And I'm coming, Jesus, but I got to tend to that. And I'm coming, Jesus, and I got to, and I'm coming, Jesus, but I got to. And so this morning, it was just this morning, I'm confessing to you, I made up my mind, I said, I'm going to set my alarm extra early today because I want to make sure that when I come to Jesus, I'm not saying, God, I'm going to come to you and give you the leftovers after I've tended to this and to that. I want to come to you first. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to come to you and show you that, God, if everything else falls apart, but I've got you and your love and your direction and your truth and your word. Lord, I don't need anything else. That's why Jesus said in Revelation 22, he said, behold, in verse 12, I am coming. Why do we have to come to Jesus? He said, this is Revelation 22, the last chapter of your Bible. And he said, behold, I'm coming. He says it throughout his entire ministry. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. And then in the very last chapter of the Bible, he says, because I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. He says in verse 13, remember this is Jesus talking. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus said, I'm the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega is the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He said, I am the first and I am the last. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Verse 16, jump down. He says, I, Jesus, I've sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. In other words, he's saying, I am everything that you need. So verse 17, he is imploring the church and the spirit and the bride say, come. Okay, I got to break that down because you didn't catch it there. You're the bride. This church is the bride. He said, so my spirit and the bride say, let's try that again. My spirit and the bride say, come. Somebody shout, come. He said, my spirit and the bride are imploring, are reaching. I'm admonishing you to come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water. Here it is, the water of what? The water of life freely. Remember, I started out by saying, you're not worthy. You can't pay for it. He said, my gift of salvation is free. Now, it's up to you to come and get it. It's up to you to come and get it. Some of you remember the story of the lady with the issue of blood. It's recorded in one gospel, at least Mark 5, that said she had this issue of blood, this bleeding in her body for 12 years. And she suffered the doctors. That's what the scripture says. It says she suffered many things from many physicians. Anybody know what that scripture is talking about? I've been to so many doctors, I seem to get worse. I got this idea here, and hey, I go to doctors, you know that. Last revival, I was here on crutches. I had surgery on my knee. But you ever feel like, man, I can't get the right answer? I've gone to this doctor, and I've gone to this physician. I've gone to this oncologist, and I've gone to this neurosurgeon. I've gone to this, and it seems to get worse. She suffered many things from many physicians. For 12 years, she had spent all that she had. the scripture says. Everything she had, she spent trying to fix this one problem for 12 years. Whew. Is that talking to anybody? And the scripture says in verse 27 of Mark 5 that when she heard about Jesus. Watch this now. When she heard about Jesus, she came. She came in the press. In other words, she came behind him. Nobody had to preach to her and persuade her and entice her and influence her. Nobody had to tell her all the scriptures. Nobody had to manipulate her or negotiate with her. When she heard about Jesus, she said, I'm going to come to Jesus. You see, that is the key. And that is the difference between walking out of church the same way you came or leaving with a testimony of a miraculous experience with Jesus Christ. The difference is some people like myself, many times I have said, not today, for whatever excuse and reason I have, not today. But when somebody says, I don't have all the answers, I don't have the ability, I don't deserve it, I'm not worthy, but I heard about Jesus today. I heard about a man. I heard about a Savior. I heard about a healer. I heard about a Savior who died for me when I don't deserve it. I heard that he showed his love to me, that while I was a sinner, he died for me. I heard about a Creator that said, let there be light, and a God who breathed his breath into my nostrils and spoke life into my soul. I heard about a God. I heard about Jesus. I heard about Jesus. I heard about Jesus. And when she heard about Jesus, she came to him. And when she got as close as she could get, she couldn't get close enough to touch him, but she got just close enough to touch the clothes on his back, the hem of his garment. And the moment she touched the thing that was touching him, her issue of blood dried up instantaneously. Verse 29 says it like this. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Watch this. Here it is. And she felt it in her body that she was healed of the affliction. I felt the Lord just give me a little direction this morning and said, tell them that if they will come to me with this kind of faith, he said, it won't be some sort of wondering prayer. They're not going to leave wondering, did I get it? Am I going to be all right? Is it all going to be okay? Is it all going to work out? He said, tell them that if they will come to me with this kind of faith, they're going to feel it in their bones. They're going to feel it in their body. They're going to feel it in their soul, and they're going to know immediately it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be okay. Jesus has worked it out for me. Jesus has made a way where there seems to be no way. Would you just lift your hands for a moment and just have a come to Jesus moment. Have a come to Jesus moment right now in your heart. Somebody come to Jesus in your soul. Somebody come to Jesus right now. Oh yeah, there's faith here today. Come on, just let this linger for a moment. Just let this linger for a moment. Let that river begin to flow out of your belly. Shall flow rivers of living water if you will come unto me. Just for a moment, I want everybody to lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Now listen for just a second. We lift up our hands And maybe you have different reasons for lifting up your hands, but two things that I always lift up my hands for. If you can, if everybody's able, could you lift up your hands? Let's do it in one accord, as the scripture says. We lift up our hands as we're saying, God, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. Look, I'm letting go. I'm not holding on. I'm not holding back. I'm letting go. Everything I have is yours, my failures, my sins, my mistakes. But God, I'm also an open vessel. I don't just want to pour out myself to you. I want to leave this place having received your spirit for me. I want to take just a few seconds with that understanding, with that faith. I want you to lift up your hands and close your eyes. I'm going to give further instruction in just a moment, but I want you just to begin to say, Jesus, I give myself to you. I pour out my heart to you, God. I pour out my failures to you. I pour out my mistakes and my sins and my fears and my confusion, Lord. Everything I've done wrong today, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm pouring it out to you, God. I'm pouring it out to you, God. Lord, I'm not holding it back. I'm pouring it out to you. Do that for just another moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, everybody just listen. Put your hands down. I'm going to tell you this real quick. Amen. The Lord is in this place right now. How do I know that? First of all, I can feel him. Maybe you can or cannot. But I know there's people crying and trembling in this place. You don't just do that at home for no reason. Your body responds to the environment. Your body responds. If you were to walk outside and it had dropped 50 degrees outside and it was 10 or 15 degrees out there and you weren't prepared for it, your body would respond. It would begin to shake and tremble. If it was very hot, it would respond by perspiring, and it would respond. If it was cold, your jaw would begin to shake, and you'd feel that because your body responds to the atmosphere, to the environment. Right now, the environment has changed. This isn't just a room. If we were all at Applebee's or something sitting there, we wouldn't be crying like this and trembling like this. The Spirit of God is reaching for somebody right now. Let me tell you what just happened not long ago. I had a man, and I thought of this as Pastor was introducing me up here, talking about how we're going to pray for you and pray for those that come today. Let me tell you something. There is no barrier of the Holy Ghost. God cannot be held back by anything except for somebody that won't come to him. But the moment somebody comes to him, there's nothing that can hold him back. I had a man in a church recently. He came up to me after the altar call. He's over the prison ministry in that area. He said, Brother Green, I've been going to this one prison now. They've let me in. He said, but it's such... He said, these prisoners are under such lockdown that we can only talk to them through this bulletproof glass. And he said, I can't lay hands on them. He said, none of them are receiving the Holy Ghost after weeks of Bible studies because I can't lay hands on them. I said, who laid hands on those 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? It says, there appeared a fire upon them. I'll tell you who laid hands upon them. It was Jesus. Man, I wish we were having night service. I'd preach on that for a minute. Tomorrow night. You remember when the prodigal son came running back? What did his father do? He fell on him. That word in the Greek is apipipto. He fell on him. That same Greek word is also in Acts chapter 10. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Apipipto. Just like the father, the prodigal son's father falling on them, the Holy Spirit fell on them while Peter was preaching at Cornelius's house. If no one lays hands on you, he'll lay his hands on you. Amen. And I told him that. And so we had Sunday night service and he came back. He went to the prison. He came back. He said, Brother Green, he said, we had three prisoners receive the Holy Ghost through bullet proof glass. He said, no one laid their hands on them. He said, I just told them, lift up your hands and in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember what we read in Revelation 22. He said, if you will come to me, he said, I'm coming quickly. He said, so if you'll come to me, you can have the water of life freely. Freely. It's yours. Today, we're going to have a freely type of altar call. We're going to have a freely type of outpouring of God's Spirit today. Everybody in this room is going to come to Jesus, whether it's for the first time or for the 1,000,000th time. We're going to come to him as if it were the last time and say, Jesus, I don't know what my today or my tomorrow holds, but I know that right now I've got a chance. I've got an opportunity. I've got an obligation, Lord, to come to you. And so what we're going to do in the next few moments, I'm going to give an altar call, and for those of you that want to come, you're going to come stand right here. Others who just feel to stay where you're standing, you're going to stay at your seat, but we're going to start to come to Jesus today. I don't want you to think about any external need or desire that you have. I don't want you to think about the family need or the finances or the job or this or that. I just want you to think about Jesus. I want to come to you. Just to you. Just 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe about 5 weeks ago now, I was at a church. And that I knew this man. I've known him for a couple of years. This man is about 55, 56 years old. He's been born and raised in church. He's like fourth or fifth generation Pentecostal. And he hasn't spoken in tongues in several years. He hasn't broken through in several years. And I noticed that throughout the few services, that's all he could think about was, oh, I've got to experience this thing. I've got to feel this thing, and I've got to speak in tongues, and I've got to have this one little experience. And that's all great. But I said, you're only thinking about the symptoms of the experience. You're only thinking about the performance of his presence. I said, forget about all that stuff. I said, and just close your eyes and think about Jesus and go after him. That's all I want you to do. I don't want you to think about speaking in tongues. I don't want you to think about goosebumps. And I don't want you to think about the breakthrough in your spirit. Just Jesus. Jesus, I'm coming to you. He began to pray on the Wednesday night Bible study service. He started speaking in tongues so demonstratively, so this expression of God's love began to flow in his innermost being. Out of his belly began to flow the rivers of living water. He literally couldn't stand anymore because he became overwhelmed by God's love. He fell to the altar and he spoke in tongues for at least 30 minutes, laying at the altar, just speaking in other tongues, breaking through in his spirit. A man of God who had been born and raised in this, but had gotten dry and barren, and the Holy Ghost all of a sudden realized, wait a second, I got to go back to my first love. I got to go back to Jesus. I got to forget about all this other stuff, the ministry, the calling, the purpose, this and that. And I got to go back to Jesus. I've got to go to Jesus. There's people here right now that have felt that in their heart. I've got to get to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet very quickly, everybody that's in here? Would you stand to your feet if you're capable of doing so? If you want to come to Jesus today, you're going to come to this altar in just a few seconds. But first of all, I know there's several people in here that's never received the gift of God's Spirit. You've never received that free gift before with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, just like it happened in the book of Acts, the Bible. Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And Acts chapter 8, the entire city of Samaria, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And then the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius's house, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And in Acts chapter 19, after being baptized in Jesus' name, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And the Bible says this gift, this promise is for you. This gift, this promise, it's for you, it says, and for your children and all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if you have never received that gift, I want you to come stand at this platform, this altar right here. Come to Jesus. And I want you to come right now. If there's a saint near them, I want you to invite them and say, hey, friend, would you come to Jesus today with me? God wants to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're going to give you just a moment. There's space right here at this altar. There's space all around here at this altar. If you have never received that gift, we want to give you the first invitation, the first opportunity to respond by faith and come to Jesus. Would you respond right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody break the ice with faith. Thank you, my friend. He's just broken the ice right there. Amen. Somebody else that says, I've never received the gift of His Spirit, I would like to receive that today. Would you come and join us at this altar? The Lord wants to fill you with His Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you know that you're one that has never received the gift of His Spirit, if you know I've never spoken in tongues like the Bible says, I've never had that experience, would you just raise a hand real quickly so we can know who you are and we can pray for you if you don't feel like coming to the altar? So if your hand is down, that means I have already spoken in other tongues. That's what your hand down means. Amen. Would you raise a hand? Anybody in this section? There's a hand right there. Thank you, sis. Thank you so much for your faith and your courage. Amen. There's one in this section. Anybody over in this section who says, I've never spoken in tongues? So if your hand is down, that means you've already spoken with other tongues, receiving the gift of God's Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name. Anybody over to my right in this section, you've never spoken in other tongues, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Amen. Just raise a hand. Anybody over in this section? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you for your courage. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, would you like to come to the front or do you want us to come pray for you there? Right there. Okay. We're going to have a couple of ladies go pray for this sister sitting about four rows back in just a moment. We're going to pray for her, for this young man. They're going to have an opportunity to receive the gift of God's Spirit for the very first time. But I've got good news. This Spirit, this gift is for everybody today. Amen. If you would like to come to Jesus today and you want to step out by faith, would you come stand at this altar very quickly as we begin to pray? Would you come to this altar very quickly? Amen. In Jesus' name. If we have any leaders and altar workers that want to prepare yourself to come and pray, just get yourself ready. You can come to this altar and prepare yourself. Make sure you bring your mask. But we are going to pray one for another. And we're going to pray for the Lord to pour out His Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your tremendous courage and faith for responding to God, for coming to Jesus today. Amen. Now, everybody, put your hands down. We're going to do something right now. Amen. Amen. We're just going to break through right now, in Jesus' name. Here's a simple question, okay? If you want to come to Jesus today, if you want to come to Jesus today, as Jesus said, I'm about to come quickly, so I've told you to come to me. If anybody wants to come to Jesus today, I want you to raise a hand. If you say, I don't need anything Jesus has for me, just keep your hand down. But you say, I want to come to Jesus today, would you raise a hand? Amen. Amen. Would you just keep that hand up? And would you join that hand with your other hand right now as we lift up our hands together in Jesus' name? If we have altar workers with masks, in just a moment, when I say in the name of Jesus, you're going to be able to go around and lay hands upon those who are willing to be prayed for. And we're going to pray that, Lord, pour out your Spirit afresh and anew upon us today. I want everyone just to get ready to praise the Lord together. I want everyone to get ready to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance today. I want everyone to get ready to come to Jesus with a reckless abandonment of your heart, of your mind, of your spirit. I want everyone to get ready to pour out your faith unto God. When I say in the name of Jesus, the Lord is going to pour out His Spirit upon this service. Get ready to praise Him. Get ready to worship Him by the authority that's in the Word of God and by the power that's in your holy name. Release a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon your children today in the name of of Jesus. Lift up your voice and praise the Lord together.